saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, friends. It's Drew Blood, the voice behind Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast and proud member of the Chilling Entertainment family. Today, I come to you with a story that isn't just about chills and thrills. It's about the very real challenges we're facing. Before we dive in, let me express my deepest gratitude to you, our loyal community. For more than 10 years, your support has been the driving force behind Chilling Entertainment, allowing us to bring you the eerie tales and spine-tingling moments you love. But now we find ourselves at a pivotal moment, and we're asking for your help. Our founder, Craig Groshek, has been through an incredibly tough period over the last few years. Alongside these personal struggles, the entire horror entertainment industry has been hit hard by financial pressures, and Chilling Entertainment is no exception. Despite all this, Craig's commitment to Chilling Entertainment, our brilliant writers, talented voice actors, skilled sound designers, and the entire team behind the scenes remains unshaken. However, we're at a point where we need your support to ensure that Chilling Entertainment not only survives but continues to flourish. We've set up a GoFundMe campaign with the goal of raising $10,000. While this is just a portion of what's truly needed to fully overcome our challenges, it's a crucial step toward addressing our most pressing needs, such as paying off debts and ensuring our team members are compensated fairly. Here's how your contribution can help. Addressing immediate financial obligations. Ensuring that our dedicated team receives the payments they deserve, despite the unexpected financial hurdles we've encountered. Investing in essential upgrades. Acquiring new equipment and software to keep delivering top-tier content you've come to expect. Reviving exciting projects. Bringing to life projects that have been on hold due to budget limitations, allowing us to continue creating and innovating. Attracting and retaining talent. Keeping the best creators, writers, and voice actors in the industry working on the stories you love. And building a new app. Developing a more user-friendly platform to enhance your experience with our content. Without your support, we may be forced to make difficult decisions, cutting back on pay, losing valuable talent, and possibly reducing the quality and frequency of the content you enjoy. Some of our most cherished shows could even face temporary or permanent closure. You can help even more by spreading the word. Share our campaign on social media. Tell your friends and fellow horror fans about us, and help us reach more people who share our passion for the macabre. Every dollar, every share, brings us one step closer to securing the future of Chilling Entertainment. Together, we can make sure that Chilling Entertainment continues to be your go-to source for the most haunting stories and unforgettable scares. Please consider donating today. Your support is invaluable. And with your help, we'll keep the darkness alive for many more years to come. To make finding our GoFundMe easier, we've set up a shortened URL. To donate today, visit helpchillin.org. That's help, H-E-L-P, chillin, chillin.org, to help us today. Thank you again for your support.
And
And welcome, amigo. Now that we've got that out of the way and you've kindly remortgaged your house to lend us a hand, thanks for that, by the way. I know it was tough to swallow that 9% interest rate. I suppose we can get started. What do you say, Chester? Story time? Yeah, I thought so. Come on in, friend. Don't mind if I smoke, do you? Hell to the yeah. That's better. Well, tonight we welcome back our good pal Brian Asbury, Colorado's biggest swinging dick. When he's not doing spots on the news or getting free coffee at the Barnes & Noble Starbucks, he'll occasionally write us a hell of a story. And I'm afraid that's what he's done tonight. Maybe you'll be afraid too. So, without further delay, from author Brian Asbury, I give you Total Control. At the tender age of only 7 years old, Bryce Bader sat waiting patiently in the back seat of his parents' car. His tattered yellow and blue striped shirt was dingy and old. Mucus drained from his nostril. He wiped away the dribble and frowned. Probably another sinus infection that should have been treated, but with five other siblings, it was easy to get overlooked. His parents had been overwhelmed and stretched beyond their means ever since the birth of their third child. But Bryce's mother, Cindy, was an uneducated woman who never put much thought into the future. To her, children weren't a hole in the pocket, but instead a loaf of bread under the arm. His father, Paul, was much the same. He viewed a large family as a sign of virility, as well as a government safety net. His two sisters and one older brother heckled and screamed on the car ride to see his other brother, who was serving time in a correctional facility. His parents, who refused to accept that their son was a criminal, explained to Bryce that his brother Matt was away at college. Once they made their way through the main entry, they were escorted by an officer into a visiting cubicle. Matt could be seen seated in his chair behind a thick sheet of plexiglass. Cindy smiled and picked up the phone. Matt then reached for the phone and held it up to his ear.
Hi, baby. We've missed you.
Paul held his youngest daughter on his knee as she stared skeptically at a brother she didn't even know.
I've missed you guys, too,
Matt replied.
And did you end up beating your ride up?
Matt's forehead wrinkled and he sighed.
No, that maintenance sergeant's had it out for me ever since I started in there. I'm actually on loss of privileges right now.
He tugged at his clothes.
That's what the orange jumpsuit's for.
Paul shook his head.
Well, that's not right. Do you want me to talk to one of the staff?
Cindy asked. Matt shook his head dejectedly.
It won't make any difference. They all just back each other up around here.
How long are you on loss of privileges for? His father asked.
30 days.
Matt replied as he sat back in his chair and rubbed his neck. As they drove out of the parking lot, Bryce stared out the window daydreaming. He gazed beyond the guard towers and razor wire, and while his brother and sisters laughed and played with each other, he appeared expressionless and lost in thought. He had grown to despise his large family due to the feelings of worthlessness that it caused them. To cope, he had often escaped into a fantasy world. Sometimes it was happy and uplifting, other times dark and disturbing. But it always revolved around one thing, his desire to be recognized and respected. He was quickly jolted back to reality by a loud thumping noise that could be heard coming from the car's engine.
Fuck!
His father shouted as he smacked the palm of his hand against the steering wheel.
It's the damn radiator again!
He put on his hazards and pulled to the side of the road. He got out and slammed the door, then walked to the front of the car. When he lifted the hood, a rush of steam barreled out. He waved it away as he leaned on the fender and peered at the engine. A few moments later, Bryce got out of the car. The gravel crunched under his tiny black Converse as he walked over to where his father was standing. He got on his tiptoes as he mimicked them and tried to see into the engine bay.
"What are you doing, boy?"
Bryce's eyes then shifted upwards towards his father.
"And you think you can fix it?"
His father chuckled. Bryce remained quiet.
"Well, you want to learn?"
A smile formed on his face, and he nodded with enthusiasm. His father grinned and grabbed some tools out of the trunk. After the engine cooled, he picked Bryce up off the ground and held him in the air.
"The first thing we got to do is to unscrew the radiator cap to see if we have coolant," he said as he pointed.
He then sat him back down, and Bryce watched closely as his father went to work. This day would prove to be a turning point in his life. It was the day that he began developing the skills and knowledge that would eventually help him get ahead. And from that moment on, whenever his father worked on any projects, Bryce was by his side. When they finally made it home, they turned into their driveway. Rusted and dilapidated cars and trucks sat like fossils in the front yard. Their pit bull had wrapped himself around his leash and panted from the mouth as he stood next to his empty water bowl. Perched on the hillside adjacent to his parents' house was his older sister's mobile home. It sat on an undeveloped plot that was overgrown with weeds and filled with trash and rotten tires. She was a single mother who continued the same cycle of government dependence as her parents. Her son's father was unknown, and in her pursuit to collect child support, she narrowed the list of possible candidates down to two: a truck driver who used to frequent the gas station that she worked at, or a one-time Tinder hookup whose condom broke. Obtaining either one's identity, however, proved both elusive and time-consuming. She eventually quit looking, and instead relied on the family to help raise her child. Bryce hated being in the trailer. He hated the smell of trash and dirty diapers, but he especially hated the clutter, because even in his young adolescent mind, he perceived clutter as a weakness. It made him nervous and uncomfortable. Paul was a pretty good mechanic, but he was an iron worker by trade. Bryce would watch as his father would fabricate metal gates and ladders in his garage. When he was still a child, he would hold the flashlight for him and fetch him supplies. As he grew, though, he became more hands-on, taking measurements and eventually operating hacksaws and grinders. Although astute and a quick learner, Bryce endured a few difficult years, as children often do. Growing pains, as his school counselor described it. He would have anger outbursts when he didn't get his way. These outbursts would sometimes take on the form of violence that he would direct towards his younger siblings. At 14 years old, he took on a fascination with sleight-of-hand magic. The experience he gained working on cars with his father helped develop his fine motor skills, which aided him when he performed his tricks. One day while practicing in his room, Bryce's sister Olivia walked in and turned on the TV.
"I'm trying to practice. Can you watch TV in the other room?"
Bryce asked her. She let out a heavy sigh and threw her arms down in a tantrum.
"You're always practicing those stupid tricks in here. Mom's watching TV in the other room, and I want to watch my show."
They would often argue over who had access to the bedroom, and today Bryce wanted to teach her a lesson. His eyes narrowed to little slits, and he glanced over at a spool of rope that he had been using for one of his acts. Later in the day, his mother walked down the hall carrying a hamper full of clothes when she heard what sounded like a thud. She paused and got a puzzled look on her face. She then heard it again. It seemed to be coming from the kids' bedroom. She followed the noise into their room and looked around. A faint shuffling sound could be heard coming from the closet. She slid open the door and, to her shock, discovered her daughter, bound and gagged. She wiggled around helplessly on the floor. Cindy's face contorted with distress, and she gasped,
"Oh my God!"
She then quickly went to work removing the duct tape from her daughter's mouth and undoing the knots in the rope that Bryce had tied her up with. After Olivia was finally freed, she began sobbing. Cindy pulled her into her chest.
What happened? Bryce got...
She started hyperventilating.
Got mad at me because I was watching TV in here. He tied me up and locked me in the closet.
After Olivia calmed down, Cindy went out into the garage. Bryce was crouched down next to his father as Paul welded a metal security screen.
Paul!
Cindy shouted. Paul turned off his torch and lifted his visor.
We need to talk inside.
After speaking amongst themselves for a few minutes, Paul cracked open the door and called out to Bryce.
I need you inside here, boy.
Bryce stepped inside and sat down at the table across from his parents. Paul scowled as his eyes dug into his son like daggers.
Why would you tie up your little sister like that?
Bryce smiled mischievously. Paul got up out of his seat and walked over to him. He leaned down onto the table and got up in the son's face.
You better wipe that stupid grin off your face. You hear me? Now I'm going to ask you one more time why you tied up your sister.
Bryce stared straight ahead, refusing to acknowledge his father. Paul ripped off his belt and began whipping him over the back with it. Cindy jumped to her feet and grabbed his arm.
No, Paul, stop!
I hate it here!
Bryce exclaimed as he jumped to his feet and ran out of the house. He spent the next few hours skipping stones at the creek. When he finally returned home later that evening, his mother seen the porch light turn on and went to open the door. Bryce stood on the steps, hanging his head.
You coming in?
He nodded shallowly and slowly stepped inside. Cindy looked him in the eyes and sighed.
Bryce, I'm not mad at you. We just want to know why in the hell you would do something like that.
Bryce paused for a minute.
I honestly don't know.
Paul walked into the room, clenching his jaw. He leaned against the kitchen counter and crossed his arms.
Listen, boy, I don't know what got into you, but you better never do that kind of shit again. You got that?
Bryce looked up, briefly locking eyes with his father. He nodded, then lowered his head again.
You ready to apologize to your sister?
Bryce crossed his arms and nodded. This would be one of the last times that he would get physical with one of his siblings, and his parents assumed that it was just a phase that he finally grew out of. Bryce went through high school as mostly a loner, but this changed once he began his senior year. He made fast friends with Jake Birmingham. Jake was a star athlete, but he struggled with his academics. He managed to stay on the football team by cheating off of Bryce in their third period algebra class. As the two got to know each other better, Jake began inviting Bryce to parties. Extracurricular or not, don't let the wholesome facade of team sports fool you. Illicit drugs were handed out at these parties like hors d'oeuvres. Bryce soon found himself using coke, ecstasy, and weed. But of all the vices that he was exposed to as a result of his friendship with Jake, there was one in particular that he developed a special fondness for. Girls. The only problem was his jealousy and hair-trigger temper made it difficult for him to maintain a relationship. The sting of repeated rejection made him bitter and controlling. This cycle became a perpetual self-fulfilling prophecy. And although he never figured out how to deal with his dilemma, he did find a way to better hide it. 6 years had passed. After finishing high school, Bryce became an ironworker apprentice. His experience helping his father, coupled with his relentless drive, helped him to excel in the trade. He then went into business for himself, and what started out as a one-man operation soon expanded into three other employees working under him. Working Man by Rush played on the giant speakers that hung on the wall in the garage of his shop. His business logo was a rendering of the comic book character Iron Man, who was shaping a piece of metal in his hands. This worked great for advertising and often brought customers in by catching their eye as they drove past it on the boulevard. Jake kept in touch with Bryce through the years and sometimes stopped in his shop to visit him. They sat together in his office, bullshitting one afternoon as they finished off a joint. Bryce's chair squeaked as he leaned back, staring up at the smoke that floated near the ceiling.
"Things are going good, Jay. Really good. I'm blessed," Bryce said. "Just let me know when you're ready to pull the trigger on that rental, man."
Jake chuckled.
"Man, the last thing I need is some low-life tweakers moving in my house. That shit happened to a guy I work with."
Jake took one final hit off the joint, then snuffed it out in the ashtray.
"He started renting out his house to help out this one family that I guess his wife knew. The husband turned out to be a meth head, though, and tore all the copper out of it."
The smile left Bryce's face.
"Oh, they wouldn't do that shit to us. They'd be sorry. Just think about it."
Jake nodded, although knowing it was a venture that he had never commit to.
"Speaking of real estate, I should be closing in a few weeks on my new crib. It's bad, bro. I'll have to send you some pics," Bryce gloated.
A warm smile formed on Jake's face and he shook Brian's hand.
"My man, that's great news."
Jake looked around and nodded.
"I'm proud of you, bro. You've come a long way since we graduated."
Bryce fed off the praise.
"You gotta keep grinding."
He leaned up in his chair and looked Jake in his eyes.
"I came from nothing, you remember. Hell, I borrowed some of your clothes to wear because I didn't have shit. I ain't never going back to that. And what's really great is seeing all these douchebags that talk shit to me in school, and now they're working at some minimum wage dead-end job somewhere."
He grinned pleasurably.
"Fuck 'em all."
Jake tried changing the subject.
"How's the dating scene? Any new prospects?"
Bryce sneered dismissively.
"You know how these bitches are. I just hit it and quit it."
Jake snickered.
"That's you, man. The eternal bachelor. I'm not gonna lie, though. If me and Celeste ever broke it off, I'd probably do the same. Relationships are fucked nowadays."
But behind Bryce's glossy red eyes and carefree smile was a fragile, insecure man who desired nothing more than to have the same kind of relationship that Jake had. He spent that evening browsing through his multiple dating apps. His profile was the same on each one. It read, "Bryce, 24, Pueblo, Colorado. I'd like to live spontaneously, although some might call it dangerous. Give me a reason why I should message you back. If you intrigue me, I might invite you into my world. Are you up for the challenge? #blessed. His tagline was a lot like he was, shallow and cryptic. After checking his messages, he discovered that he received a response back from a woman that he swiped on several days earlier. He grinned to himself and messaged her back. The woman's name was Allison Ulrich. She was an attractive 25-year-old dental assistant who was seeking a relationship with someone who was career-driven like herself. She liked the fact that Bryce owned his own business and identified as religious. Bryce managed to charm her, and the two seemed to hit it off after meeting for dinner and drinks on several occasions. Despite how well things started off, there was something unique about Allison that seemed to make her almost unattainable in Bryce's mind.
"Close your eyes," Bryce said.
He looked over at Allison to see if she was peeking.
"Keep them closed."
She smiled with anticipation as she sat next to him in his Dodge truck. As he pulled up to a stop, he turned to her and smiled.
"Okay, you can open them."
When she opened her eyes, they were parked in the driveway of Bryce's new house. It was a custom single-story home that featured intricate stone architecture and large bushes that surrounded its perimeter.
"Oh my God, this looks even more amazing in person,"
Allison said with enthrallment. They exited the truck and climbed the steps that led onto its covered front porch. Inside was a spacious living room with an impressive two-sided gas fireplace that acted as a main focal point. Gazing out the window at the backyard provided a breathtaking view of the rural mountainside that overlooked the St. Charles River. "All this is going to get updated," Bryce said as he looked around. They continued through the house, finally stepping into the master bedroom. Another fireplace set below several holes that looked to have secured a TV mount to the wall at one time. Feeling emboldened, Bryce grabbed Allison by the waist and began kissing her on the small of her neck. She reached back and rubbed his head sensually. He inched his hand closer to her breast and soon, in the heat of passion, turned her around and pressed her up against the wall. Allison suddenly pulled away.
"No, Bryce, I can't do this."
"What? Is it because I don't have a bed in here yet?" Allison sighed.
"It's because we barely know each other."
Bryce flung his arm in the air in frustration. "You know, I'll take you out to eat, buy you drinks, I drop you off at your apartment, and then I'm lucky if I even get a kiss." Allison frowned.
"I don't know what you're used to, but I need time. I just got out of a relationship, and I'm not trying to rush things."
Bryce slammed his hand against the wall. "No. You know what I think it is? I think you're just a cock tease." The quick shift in his demeanor startled Allison, causing her to back away.
"Well, if that's how you're going to be, then I think we're done here, and you need to take me home."
The two locked eyes tensely, and after a few moments, Bryce finally sighed. "Get in the truck," he uttered with disgust. Allison breathed a sigh of relief and quickly stormed out of the house. There was an uncomfortable silence between them on the ride back to her apartment. She slammed the truck door and marched across the parking lot as Bryce glared at her through the window. He watched her until she disappeared into the building. After getting moved in, remodeling began on Bryce's home. He oversaw much of the project, which was both lavish as well as strangely eccentric. Heated stone tile floors, LED-lit countertops, and digital accent lighting was bizarrely paired with vintage fixtures, such as a Victorian-era sink and bathtub that he installed in the master bathroom. He wanted his home to be unique and reflect his success, because to him, money and success was the ultimate display of power. As the weeks rolled by, Bryce tried contacting Allison on numerous occasions. He called her work and left messages on her phone apologizing for his behavior. He attributed his outburst to stress, anxiety, and at one point, even tried tugging on her heartstrings by claiming a traumatic brain injury. He even changed his look, investing in a toupee after remembering her mentioning that she normally dated men with hair. But despite his best attempts, Allison, who was extremely picky with who she dated, eventually blocked his number and moved on. Jake pulled into Bryce's driveway after he invited him over to see the updates that he made to his home. He rang the doorbell and soon heard Bryce's voice through the speaker.
"Hello?"
"Hey, it's me."
"Come back with the warrant,"
Bryce exclaimed jokingly, his jarring laugh penetrating the afternoon air like a hacksaw cutting through a tin can. The door soon opened.
"Just kidding, buddy. Come on in,"
Bryce said as they shook hands. Jake immediately noticed Bryce's toupee, and as he stepped past him, he could smell alcohol on his breath.
"What's with the..."
Jake said curiously as he motioned to Bryce's head. Bryce quickly looked away as if it were an uncomfortable subject.
"Just trying something new."
Upon entering, Jake noticed a freestanding popcorn machine that sat near the doorway. Bryce staggered around, carelessly grinding stray bits of popcorn into the tile floor.
"You want a bag?"
Bryce said as he pointed to it.
"No, I'm good."
Bryce's Doberman, Apollo, sniffed Jake, then began shamelessly dragging his ass on the ground.
"Apollo! No! Heel!"
Bryce shouted as he snapped his fingers. As they walked into the living room, a shirtless young man in basketball shorts laid sprawled out on the sofa. A neon green bong sat on the coffee table across from him.
"Jake, this is Trey," Bryce said, introducing the two.
Trey reached out and shook Jake's hand.
"He's helping me with some remodeling around here."
They walked out into the backyard until the terrain began to steeply slope. They both slid to a stop, which sent some of the rocks beneath their feet cascading down the mountainside. Jake gazed off into the distance.
"Wow, that's one hell of a drop."
Bryce turned to him.
"That's why I like this place, Jay, the privacy."
He then grinned and slapped Jake on the back mischievously.
"Don't trip."
Jake panicked and jerked his body backwards as he nearly lost his balance.
"Easy, man. What the hell?"
Bryce began snickering as if it was amusing to him.
"Just playing, man. Lighten up."
He then motioned with his head.
"Come on, let's go back inside and get a drink."
Jake huffed as he regained his composure. He then turned and followed Bryce back towards the house. Once inside, Bryce made his way into the kitchen. He opened the cupboard and grabbed two shot glasses. He then walked over to a bottle of Crown Royal that was sitting on the island countertop. He opened it, then poured two shots, overfilling each one. He sucked up the excess with his mouth, then walked over to Jake and handed him one of the glasses.
"Here," he said, raising his glass in the air. "Salute. Two alphas who are about to conquer the world."
Jake toasted him and drank his shot. After coming to the realization that Allison had moved on, intrusive thoughts began filling Bryce's head. They screamed at him.
"Failure. Weakling. Fool."
They embedded themselves into the dark tapestry of his subconscious. The murky mutated regions that were responsible for primitive impulses like violence, arousal, and his lust for control. He tried any way that he could to remain in contact with Allison. However, his once peaceful pleas for forgiveness had now turned to vulgar insults. He created fake social media profiles and purchased multiple track phones so that he could continue keeping tabs on her. He would drive by her home and work to monitor her whereabouts and learn her daily routine. But this wasn't enough, and after much thought and planning, remodeling soon began on the next modification to his home. And it would prove to be his most radical and insane project yet. Him and Trey began tearing out the carpet and drywall in one of the basement bedrooms. The window was covered, and the walls and ceiling were reconstructed with cinder blocks. He explained to Trey that he was constructing a wine cellar and needed a cool, dark area for storage. Once in private, though, his true intention soon became apparent. He removed the wooden door and replaced it with a custom metal variant. He used his skills as an iron worker to weld metal bars together in order to create a jail cell door. He added a tray slot and reinforced hinges that were bolted to a metal frame. Soundproof foam was then added throughout the area to reduce noise. The project took a little over a month. After making his last weld, Bryce removed his visor and stood back and wiped the dust from his coveralls. A smile formed on his face as he looked around with a sense of pride and resourcefulness. His basement was now complete and had been fully converted into a cruel and sadistic makeshift prison. Allison left work for the evening on an unusually slow Tuesday. She walked out to her car in the employee parking lot, which was located behind the clinic, with Brittany, who was the office receptionist. After the two parted ways, she got inside and immediately checked her phone. A few moments later, she started the engine. The low tire light indicator suddenly illuminated on her dash.
"Shit,"
she muttered under her breath. She got out and looked over at where Brittany was parked, but she had already left. She closed her door and began walking around her car. she discovered that her front passenger side tire was completely flat. She sighed.
Fuck!
She looked around when her eyes noticed a man dressed in coveralls who was sorting through some supplies in the back of his work van. She assumed that he was a contractor who was doing some work for one of the neighboring businesses. Allison called out to him, hoping that he could change her tire and save her the hassle of waiting for a tow truck.
"Excuse me?"
she shouted. The man paused and looked over at her.
"I have a flat tire. Do you think you could help me change it?"
"Yeah, just hang on a sec,"
he shouted back. He rummaged through his tools and grabbed a lug wrench and then began walking toward Allison's car. He bent over as he appeared to examine her tire. She stood next to him with her arms crossed. He then leaned back up and snickered.
"It looks like some asshole let the air out of it."
Allison got a puzzled look on her face.
"Excuse me?"
The man's friendly smile suddenly vanished, and he removed his sunglasses. Allison gasped as she looked him in the eyes. In that dire moment, it dawned on her that the man standing in front of her was Bryce. He was wearing his toupee and had disguised his face by growing out his beard. He was nearly unrecognizable. Before she had a chance to react, he lunged forward, striking her on the head with his wrench. The impact knocked her to the pavement. He then quickly drug her into the back of his van and sped out of the parking lot. Allison laid unconscious and sprawled out on the concrete floor of the jail cell in Bryce's home. The warm glow of a light bulb burned overhead. Its glass cover was removed from its fixture as well as any other objects that could potentially be used as weapons. The smell of fresh solder and polyurethane filled her lungs. Dried blood had crusted over the laceration on the side of her head. Her eyes slowly opened, although her mind was still too cloudy to process her surroundings. As she began to regain her senses, panic set in. She quickly sat up and looked around in confusion. She saw Bryce squatting down and staring at her through the metal bars of the door.
"What the fuck? What the fuck's going on?"
she shrieked as she crawled around and huddled in the corner.
"This is where whores wind up," Bryce said calmly.
Allison began crying as she tried to make sense of the nightmare that she now found herself in. Bryce paused for a moment, then scowled as a flurry of emotion seemed to pour out of him.
"You had to play hard to get. You think you're too good to take my calls, huh?"
"Please,"
Allison said, motioning with her trembling hands.
"Were you messing around on me?"
"What are you talking about?"
she pleaded. Bryce shook his head.
"I'm going to give you time to think about what a bitch you were,"
he said as he rose to his feet and walked off. Allison got up and looked around as her eyes searched for a way out. On one end of the cell was a thin foam mattress and a pillow. No sheets or blankets. On the other end was a plastic bedpan. She walked over to the door and grabbed onto the bars. She jerked on them forcefully as her hopeless cries reverberated through the downstairs. The next morning, Allison was jolted awake by the sound of Bryce's approaching footsteps. She frantically backed away and nudged herself in the corner. He stepped in front of her cell, holding a cafeteria-style tray in his hands. On the tray was scrambled eggs, bacon, an English muffin, a styrofoam cup filled with coffee, and a plastic knife and spoon.
"Hungry?"
"Why are you doing this?"
Allison whimpered.
"Well, the first thing we need to get straight is how you address me. From now on, you'll say, 'Why are you doing this, Daddy?' Got that?"
"I have a head injury and I need to get medical attention."
"What did I just tell you? Did you not hear what I just said?"
Allison began breaking down.
"I need to get medical attention. Daddy!"
Bryce lowered his head and chuckled to himself. then looked back up. You're looking at the medical attention. Let me look around and see if I have some antiseptic or something. Allison continued sniveling as she sat on the ground with her feet tucked, rocking back and forth. Bryce opened a slot in the door and slid the tray through the opening.
You need to eat something to keep your strength up, and I'm sure you probably didn't get much sleep last night, so I made you some coffee.
Allison didn't move from the corner.
Come on,
he said as he wiggled the tray. He sighed after a few moments, then pulled it back out and set it on the ground. He reached into his pants pocket and grabbed his keys, then opened the door. Allison began screaming hysterically. He bent over and grabbed the tray, then stepped into her cell and sat it on the floor. He then stepped back out and pulled the door closed. He grabbed onto the bars as he gazed down at her.
I'm sorry if I scared you yesterday. I'm not gonna hurt you.
He smiled to himself thoughtfully.
It was fate that brought us together. Not chance, not coincidence, fate. And I wasn't gonna spend one more day denying that.
Allison lashed out.
You're a sick fuck!
Bryce chuckled.
There you go playing hardball again.
What do you want from me?
Hey, you like music?
Bryce then shouted into the distance.
Alexa, play Allison's mix.
The oldie song, Happy Together by the Turtles, began playing on the overhead speakers. Bryce gently swayed to the music and began singing along to the lyrics.
I can't see me loving nobody but you for all my life. Are we happy together?
He said as he cocked his head to the side and grinned twistedly. Allison gazed back at him with a repulsed look on her face. Bryce wiped the sweat from his face with the locker room towel at Galaxy Fitness. His lifting partner, who was a muscular man, reached into his duffel bag and removed several plastic bottles that contained cattle steroids. Bryce took the bottles, then pulled out some money from his wallet and handed it to him.
Okay, so here's what you do,
the man said as he proceeded to give Bryce directions on how to use the compounds. Although he had never admitted, Bryce had always thought of his body as somewhat feminine and underdeveloped. He'd worked out to get a pump, only to have it diminished by the end of the day and once again feel small and insecure. If he were to put on more muscle, Allison might find him more attractive and begin falling for him. But moreover, having muscles would reflect to the world the control that he had over his body. By the next day, he had forgotten his partner's directions on how to properly dose the steroids. He tried to call him on the phone, but there was no answer. Rather than waste any more time, he decided to do a quick online search. But like anything you read on the internet, you can't always trust a source. He was still somewhat unclear on the proper mixture, so he estimated the amount that he would need. He ground up the pellets in his bathroom and used a conversion kit to turn the powder into an injectable form. He clumsily dropped the syringe he was using on the floor.
Fuck!
He hissed, grateful that it didn't break. He picked it up and blew off the needle, then took a deep breath and injected it into his butt cheek. The sting was strangely satisfying. Bryce invited Jake and his girlfriend Celeste over for dinner one Sunday evening. Allison heard the sound of Jake's car door slam. She jumped to her feet and ran up to her door. She tried to listen, then began jerking on the bars and shouting at the top of her lungs.
Help! Help, please!
Bryce greeted the two outside. Jake immediately noticed the increase in his size and jokingly squeezed his bicep.
Damn, dog! Where'd those come from?
Bryce grinned arrogantly as he shook his hand.
HWD! Hard work and dedication.
As they stepped inside, Celeste was taken aback by the luxurious interior, as Jake was the first time that he entered Bryce's home. The table was set, and dinner consisted of herb-crusted baked salmon, a tossed salad, and vintage Chardonnay. Allison took her tray and began banging it against the metal bars in hopes that someone would hear. Jake took a sip of his wine, then paused and looked around.
"What was that?"
he said as he looked over at Bryce. Bryce paused.
"What was what?"
he replied nervously.
"It sounds like a banging noise coming from the basement."
Bryce sat his fork down and cleared his throat, then got a serious look on his face.
"It's just a girl I have tied up down there."
Jake and Celeste glanced at each other with a puzzled look. After a few moments, Bryce finally cracked a grin and chuckled.
"That's just my friend's pit jumping around. I'm boarding them for him, and I have to keep them locked up because him and Apollo don't get along."
Jake laughed.
"Sure,"
he said sarcastically. The joking grin wiped off Bryce's face.
"I actually need to go check on him, make sure he's not tearing shit up."
He sat his fork down and excused himself from the table, then stormed up to the basement door. He pulled out his keys and unlocked the deadbolt, then locked it again behind him and marched down the stairs. He rounded the corner, then opened a wooden cabinet that hung on the wall. He grabbed a stun gun from one of the shelves and walked over to Allison's cell. He peered in at her menacingly as he cracked its electrodes.
"Is there a problem?"
he snarled. Allison dropped the tray and stumbled backwards.
"I'm having some friends over, and you're embarrassing me. Now, just to make sure you behave yourself, I'm going to open the slot, and I want you to hand me the tray. Understood?"
Allison nodded.
"Say yes, Daddy."
"Yes, Daddy,"
her voice softly cracked. Bryce took the tray from her and smiled darkly.
"Good. Now tell me you love me."
Allison hesitated.
"Tell me you love me."
"I love you,"
she finally uttered. The words left her feeling dirty and belittled. The next afternoon, officers McBride and Delaney pulled into the parking lot of Bryce's shop. McBride walked up to the front desk and rang the bell. Bryce soon emerged from the garage, dressed in his welding coveralls and a backwards-turned baseball cap.
"Can I help you?"
"We're looking for a missing woman."
McBride then placed a picture of Allison on the counter.
"Allison Ulrich. She was last seen leaving her workplace on June 17th. I understand that she was a friend of yours."
Bryce leaned over and looked at the picture, then tapped it with his index finger.
"Yeah, I remember her. A friend is a little bit of an overstatement, though."
At that moment, Officer Delaney walked up behind McBride. Bryce's eyes lit up.
"What's up, Cody?"
Coincidentally, Bryce had known Cody Delaney from the gym. They had worked out together before, and Delaney purchased steroids from Bryce's lifting partner, Alex Garcia.
"Oh, hey, what's up, buddy?"
Delaney said warmly as he extended his hand and the men shook. Bryce turned back to McBride.
"We went on a few dates together, like 5 or 6 months ago, but we kind of just lost touch after that."
McBride looked at Delaney, then turned back to Bryce and nodded.
"Okay, so you haven't heard from her or anything since then?"
Bryce shook his head as he leaned up against the counter.
"No. The last time we spoke was probably 4 or 5 months ago."
McBride nodded, then gestured with his finger.
"You two know each other?"
Bryce grinned.
"Yeah, I go to the same gym as this meathead,"
he said, glancing over at Delaney. The men laughed.
"It's a small world," McBride said.
"Yeah, it really is."
McBride then reached into his shirt pocket and pulled out his card.
"Well, if you hear from her, just give us a call,"
he said as he handed it to Bryce.
"See you later, brother,"
Delaney said as he waved, and the two men turned to leave.
"Good luck finding that girl. Hopefully she'll turn up,"
Bryce said as he waved goodbye. Only Women Bleed by Alice Cooper played subtly in the background as Bryce stood in front of his bathroom mirror. He had stripped down naked and flexed as he assessed the changes to his body. He had put on an impressive 22 pounds of lean muscle mass since he first began his steroid cycle. However, he began to experience side effects from improperly dosing the drugs. Aside from the mood swings, acne began to form on his face, chest, and back, marring his once clear complexion. He frowned as he cleaned the breakouts with a medicated wipe. Time passed like a slow death, leaving Allison both mentally and emotionally drained. The day of her abduction played over and over again, torturing her mind. She dwelled on every detail and how she would have handled it differently if she only had a second chance. She soon realized, however, that this was futile and instead tried to focus on an escape plan. She wasn't sure if she had gained strength or just gone numb, but once her tears had dried up, her instinct to survive kicked in. As Bryce got more comfortable with Allison, he began buying her gifts. He bought her a TV, a small fan, and a pair of diamond earrings that he made her wear. He would sit outside her cell and have personal conversations with her for hours. In his deranged mind, he had won, and they were sharing a life together, no matter how unorthodox it may have been. The door to Allison's cell creaked open, waking her from a shallow sleep. It was shower time, and as dehumanizing as it was to feel Bryce's eyes on her as she washed herself, it was one of the few pleasures that she had to look forward to. Today, however, would be different. Today was the day that she made up her mind to fight back. She changed into her robe and carried her towel to the shower as Bryce escorted her from behind. She walked barefoot and decided to act as if she stepped on something sharp, which she figured would work as a distraction. As she stopped and bent over, pretending to examine her foot, Bryce continued walking and approached her from the side. When he got within striking distance, she dropped her towel, then grabbed onto his shirt and kneed him in the groin. The air was knocked out of him, and he fell to his knees. She bolted down the hall, then turned a corner and stumbled up the stairs. She got to the door and twisted the handle, but to her horror, it was locked. She yanked on it as tears of desperation began streaming down her face. She looked behind her and peered down the staircase. A commotion could be heard, and Bryce's shadow could be seen, looming closer by the second. When he finally caught up to her, he nearly tripped. As he rounded the corner up the stairs, his footsteps crashing down like thunder. She tried to shield herself as he grabbed her by her hair and backhanded her across the face. He then forced her down the stairs as she struggled in his grasp.
If you want to act like a bitch, then you'll be treated like a bitch. Is that what you want, Allison?
Bryce shouted, spraying her in the face with droplets of his saliva. She tried to pull away, so he pulled his stun gun from its holster and shocked her in the side. Her muscles contracted, and she dropped to the floor. He dragged her the rest of the way, then tossed her in her cell and slammed the door.
Shower privileges are taken until you knock your shit off, Bryce barked.
He then crouched down and glared at her ominously.
Don't fuck with me. I can make it worse. I can make it so much worse you have no idea.
Allison laid on the ground crying and curled up in the fetal position. Bruises had already begun to form on her body, and blood trickled from her nostril. Her defeated whimpers echoed through the basement. Bryce had packed on another 5 pounds of mass. However, the steroids that he had been abusing for months began to wreak havoc on his body. His chest and upper back were now canvassed in crater-like ulcers and abscesses that oozed with pus. His face had been disfigured from picking at scabs, which had then bled and crusted over. His pecs were covered by a layer of breast tissue, and his swollen nipples itched madly. But as severe as these side effects were, the respect and attention that he believed he finally had garnered made coming off the drug seem unimaginable to him. Trey swung a pickaxe over his head in the afternoon sun as he prepared the soil in Bryce's backyard for grass seed. He wiped the sweat from his brow, then went inside to take a break and seek refuge from the heat. The mellow hum of the refrigerator could be heard in the kitchen. He opened its door and grabbed a Gatorade off the shelf, then cracked it open and took a swig. He leaned against the counter, which faced the basement door. He'd been curious as to what may have been down there ever since Bryce had told him that it was off limits. He looked around, then walked over to it and tried the handle, but it was locked. He then remembered seeing a spare key in the cupboard and wondered to himself if it would work to open it. He grabbed the key, then tried it in the lock. The deadbolt slid into its chamber, and the door slowly creaked open. He stood at the edge of the steps and gazed down the staircase, unprepared for what he had just stumbled upon. As he began his descent, each preceding step revealed another unsettling glimpse of what awaited him. He looked around in confusion as he examined the foam padding that was fastened to the wall. At the bottom of the steps, he was met with a barrier, a wire mesh enclosure with a one-way locking gate. Bryce had added it after Allison's escape attempt. He pushed it open and cautiously rounded the corner. He flipped the light switch on the wall. Allison sat up, shielding her weary eyes from the brightness. She could hear the approaching footsteps and assumed that it was Bryce. Trey got a look of disbelief on his face when he saw Allison's cell. She gasped and cried out when she saw his face. He was the first person aside from Bryce that she had laid eyes on since her abduction.
"Oh my God, are you okay?"
Trey exclaimed.
"Please, please, you gotta let me out of here,"
Allison pleaded.
Let me see if this opens it."
Trey pulled the key from his pocket and tried it in the lock, but it didn't fit.
"It won't open."
"Call for help, okay? I need you to call for help,"
she begged. At that moment, Trey heard the sound of Bryce's truck door slam.
"I'll get help,"
he said as he motioned to Allison. He then rushed back upstairs, locking the basement door and placing the key back on its hook in the cupboard. A few moments later, Bryce walked through the front door. He could see Trey breathing heavily.
"What's up, man? You good?"
"Yeah, just taking a break,"
Trey replied nervously. Bryce cracked a smile.
"Good. How's the project outside coming?"
Trey took a drink of his Gatorade as he tried to avoid making eye contact.
"It's coming. That fucking dirt's full of shale, so it's taking some time."
Bryce nodded.
"I'm going to go change, then I'll give you a hand out there."
Before setting his phone down on his bedroom dresser, Bryce saw that he had a missed text. It read, "Door open reminder. Location. Basement." He panicked and bolted through the house. He then unlocked the basement door and sprinted down the stairs to check on Allison. He saw that she was still in her cell, then scowled and shifted his eyes towards the upstairs as he caught his breath. Trey stood in the backyard as he dialed 911 on his phone. When he turned around, Bryce was standing in front of him, holding the pick in his hand. Trey got a startled look on his face. Bryce bounced his pecs up and down intimidatingly, and his veins bulged beneath his skin like garden hoses. He began slowly walking in Trey's direction.
"Give me the phone," Bryce hissed.
Trey froze.
"Give me the phone. Now."
911, what's your emergency?"
the operator said. Fearing for his safety, Trey reluctantly handed Bryce his phone. He then listened in horror as Bryce calmly explained to the operator that he was programming his new phone and accidentally dialed the wrong number. After he hung up, he tossed it off the mountainside. Trey was now petrified beyond words. He tried to run back inside, but the door was locked. He turned around and faced Bryce as his back pressed up against the glass.
"What were you doing in the basement?"
Trey nervously shook his head.
Nothing.
I give you work, invite you into my home, and then I find out you're sneaking around like that.
I won't say anything, man. I swear.
Trey pleaded.
No, it's too late for that.
Bryce fiercely swung the pickaxe at Trey, who dodged to the side. The steep slope of the mountainside, combined with the large bushes and wrought iron fence, made escaping nearly impossible. There was only one way out now, and that was through Bryce. Trey gritted his teeth, then charged him full speed, but he was no match for Bryce's strength. Bryce flung him to the ground, then raised the pickaxe over his head and began wildly swinging it at him. Trey scrambled around in a panic frenzy as the pick repeatedly tore into the earth. As he turned to get to his feet, Bryce finally connected, and the tip of the pick was embedded into the side of his head. Trey dropped to the ground with a fatal thud. Bryce then planted his foot into the small of his back and with a few forceful yanks, dislodged it from his skull. He tossed the pick onto the ground, then wiped the gore from his face. He then dragged Trey's body down the mountainside, knelt down behind him, and rolled him off the edge. As the days passed, Allison began to lose hope of being rescued. She knew that somehow she had to gain Bryce's trust back to have a chance at escaping, a chance that she couldn't fail at this time. So, out of desperation, she decided to resort to the unthinkable. She decided to play into his game. Bryce handed Allison her breakfast through the tray slot, then slammed it shut. As he turned and walked away, she called out to him.
Daddy.
He stopped and turned around, then walked back to her cell. Her hygiene had declined since being placed on restriction. Her skin had dulled, and she smiled at him with chapped lips and yellowing teeth.
I was wondering if maybe you'd want to have breakfast with me. I had some things I wanted to tell you.
As Bryce turned to walk away, Allison sighed and got a hopeless look on her face. However, he returned a few moments later with a chair in his hand. He placed it on the ground, then sat down in front of her and crossed his arms.
I'm listening, he uttered.
I'm sorry that I ran. I think it may have been because, for the first time in my life, I actually felt something, and it scared me.
Bryce stared at her vacantly.
Go on.
I'm tired of being afraid of being hurt. I'm tired of being...
She began to choke up.
So fucking guarded all the time.
Her lip quivered.
The one thing that you made abundantly clear to me during all this is your devotion to me. That's something I've never had before.
She sighed as if a heavy burden had just been lifted off her shoulders.
I think when I've earned your trust back, I'm finally ready to take our relationship to the next level.
Bryce paused for a moment and sighed thoughtfully as he looked down at the floor. He then raised his head back up.
Well, I was waiting for you to finally come around. I forgive you for attacking me and trying to run. I won't hold it against you, but if it ever happens again, well, let's just say that'll be the last time.
He rose to his feet and made a kissing gesture at Allison with his lips.
I'll be back later tonight.
He then cheaply grinned.
I expect that makeup six.
After he turned and walked away, Allison smiled.
I hope you like it rough.
She whispered darkly to herself. That evening, Bryce made his way down the stairs to the basement as he held a bottle of tequila and two shot glasses.
"Alexa, play romantic music,"
he called out as he closed the gate behind him and walked toward Allison's cell. He dimmed the lights and smooth romantic music began softly playing over the speakers. He stopped in front of her door and grinned mischievously.
"How about you shower up first?"
Allison smiled seductively.
"I'd like that, Daddy."
Bryce watched her from outside the bathroom as Allison soaped herself up suggestively. He took a shot of tequila and smiled perversely as dirty thoughts raced through his mind. A gust of steam wafted through the air as Allison opened the shower door and stepped out. Barely able to contain himself, Bryce got up from his seat and walked over to her. He grabbed her face and began kissing her on the lips. She gently pulled away and wrapped a towel around herself.
"Not yet,"
she said in a sultry voice.
"I'm going to make you wait a little bit longer until you want it so bad that you're about to explode."
"Okay, but not too much longer," Bryce said as he eyed her lustfully. She rubbed on some lotion as she kept an eye on him in the bathroom mirror. She then put on some perfume and changed into the lingerie that he had bought for her to wear. As she exited the bathroom, she playfully beckoned to him by gesturing to him with her index finger. She smiled flirtatiously, then took him by the hand and led him back to her cell. She pushed him up against the wall and began running her fingers through his toupee while kissing him aggressively. Bryce became aroused by the dominance that Allison exhibited. It was a side of her that he had never seen before. She then dropped to her knees and began undoing his belt. The moment that he had fantasized about since the first time that he had laid eyes on her had finally come to be. He looked up at the ceiling and closed his eyes, then smiled in ecstasy as he placed his hands on top of her head. As she was pleasuring him, he didn't notice that she had removed his keys from his pocket. She then slowly reached for the leg iron that was attached to the wall, the same leg iron that Bryce had sometimes used to restrain her with. She carefully slipped the cuff onto his ankle, then quickly crawled away.
"What the fuck do you think you're doing?"
Bryce exclaimed, caught off guard. He wiggled his cuffed leg, then bent over and began frantically digging through his pockets for his keys. Allison dangled them in front of him.
"You looking for these?"
Bryce pulled up his pants in humiliation. His face was flushed, and his toupee had flipped up to the side.
"You lied to me! You made a big mistake by doing that! Now give me the fucking keys! I'm through playing games!"
Allison laughed.
"Well, that's too bad, because I was just getting started."
She then grabbed a bottle of tequila off the floor and poured herself a shot. She drank it, then slammed her glass down and began pouring the rest of the bottle's contents onto Bryce. He turned to the side and put his hand out in front of him.
"What the fuck are you doing now, you crazy bitch?"
he exclaimed as the tequila rained down and trickled onto the concrete floor beneath him. A feeling of confusion and unease crept over him. He crouched down and began wrestling with the cuff. Allison sat the empty bottle down and stepped out of the cell.
"I'm not feeling this music, though. It's kind of killing the vibe,"
she then shouted into the distance.
"Alexa, play Allison's mix."
"Playing Allison's mix,"
the automated voice repeated back. The 80s song Maniac started playing.
"Alexa, turn it up."
The volume increased and the music began blasting through the speakers.
"That's more like it,"
she said as she smiled devilishly. The scene was getting stranger by the minute, which caused Bryce to panic and struggle even more frantically as he tried to free himself.
"What the fuck is this?"
he said, yelling over the music. He then stood back up and motioned with his hands.
"Just please give me the keys, okay? I'll let you go."
Allison turned her head and looked down the hall. In one of the corners sat the blowtorch that Bryce had used to construct her cell with. She strolled towards it as she moved her body to the music. She reached down and picked it up, then ignited its flame. She then tilted her head to the side and gazed at it with a hollow and detached look in her eyes. She walked back over to Bryce, with her eyes fixed on him like a vulture that had locked onto its prey. Bryce's eyes widened in fear as a feeling of horror surged through his body.
What the fuck are you gonna do with that?
I'm gonna take it nice and slow,
she uttered sensually. Without breaking eye contact, she then licked her lips. Bryce dropped to the ground and began wildly jerking on his cuff as he stared up at her with a look of terror. But no matter how hard he struggled, he was no match for the strength of the thick steel double strand. Out of desperation, he decided to resort to his last option, pleading for mercy. He stood back up and placed his hands in the air.
Don't do this, Allison. Please, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you.
But Bryce would soon discover that he was no longer dealing with a rational person that could be reasoned with. Allison's mind had been degraded by the trauma that she had endured, and the isolation that she was subjected to made it wander into a frightening realm. His plea seemed to trigger a violent response in her. She lunged forward, searing his palms with the torch's flame. Bryce shrieked. He fell back against the wall and grimaced. Large, bright red blisters began to form across his palms. Angered by the pain, he cried out,
Look what you did, you stupid bitch!
Allison got a scathing look on her face and her eyes took on a savage quality.
Don't ever call me a stupid bitch again! You don't have that kind of power anymore, motherfucker!
She then lowered her head and glared at Bryce ominously as the glow of the torch's flame acted to black out her eyes. Bryce held out his burnt, trembling hand as he cowered against the wall. He then glanced down at the puddle of tequila that had pooled on the ground around his feet. A chill ran down his spine, and he looked back up as his face twisted in horror.
Please don't do it. Just stop. Please!
A lethal smile formed on Allison's face.
You messed with the wrong bitch, asshole.
She then squatted down and used the torch's flame to ignite the trail of tequila. A blaze erupted, and Bryce was soon engulfed in a raging inferno. The flames licked the cinder block walls and ceiling, leaving behind black scorch marks from the intense heat. He flailed his arms and legs around wildly as he tried to extinguish the flames from his body. Through the blaze, you could see him wailing in agony as he wasted away. The skin on his face was covered in severe burns, and soon patches of flesh were being incinerated off his body. Bryce finally succumbed to his injuries, collapsing to the ground as Allison looked on. The flames danced in her eyes, and the smell of charred human remains permeated the air. In her mind, he had earned his punishment, a punishment that was bought and paid for in full. She took a few steps backwards, then darted down the hallway towards the gate. She unlocked it, then ran up the stairs and unlocked the basement door that led into the kitchen. To her dismay, waiting for her past the doorway's threshold was Apollo. The hair on the back of his neck stood up and he began growling and exposing his teeth. Allison stopped and looked around, then grabbed the butcher knife off the counter to use as a weapon. But to her relief, Apollo suddenly appeared distracted. He whined, then stared off into space and began dragging his ass across the kitchen floor. She threw the knife down, then bolted out the house and ran up to Bryce's truck. She unlocked the door and jumped behind the wheel. The engine revved as it turned over, and the headlights illuminated, cutting through the darkness. She floored the accelerator and tore out of the driveway. She rammed the front gate, which caused sparks to fly as it violently flew open. The truck's front bumper was mangled, and the passenger side headlight was knocked out from the impact. She sped down the narrow country road as she threw her arms in the air and screamed in exhilaration. She ran the stop sign, then turned onto the main road and began weaving dangerously through traffic. Deputy Higgins was parked outside of a convenience store when Allison flew past him. His radar gun beeped obnoxiously, which caused him to throw down the sandwich that he was eating. He peeled out of the parking lot and hit the lights on his squad car. A high-speed chase ensued, and after several minutes, he was joined by another patrol car. Allison tried to lose them by turning down a dirt road, but ended up overcorrecting and fishtailing into the ditch. The sound of crunching metal broke the stillness down the desolate stretch of road. Dust rose up from the crash side and slowly drifted into the moonlit backdrop.
"Driver, step out of the vehicle and place your hands in the air,"
Higgins' voice echoed. He, along with the other officer, aimed their guns as they cautiously crept towards the wreckage. Blood ran down Allison's face as she slowly opened her eyes and lifted her head off the steering wheel.
"Dispatch, this is 7R10. We need medical responders on the scene," Higgins exclaimed over his radio.
"Let me see your hands,"
the other officer shouted as he shined his flashlight onto Allison's face. She looked around in a daze, then slowly placed her hands in the air. Higgins opened the door, and both men dragged her from the vehicle and placed her on the ground in cuffs.
"What's your name?"
Higgins asked. Allison stayed quiet.
"Why were you running from us like that?"
She forcefully spit a mass of blood mixed with saliva onto the ground, then looked up at the men and grinned ominously.
"Oh, you'll find out soon enough."
A year and a half later.
Nurse Joanne Martinez led a group of new hires on a tour through one of the psych wards at the Colorado Mental Health Institute. As they approached the next cell down the corridor, she turned to the group and lowered her voice.
"You may remember this next young lady from the news."
The name tag on the door read, "Ulrich, 55791.
"That's Allison Ulrich's cell. She was the woman that was abducted from outside of her work last year."
Nurse Martinez then began shaking her head.
"At some point during her captivity, she suffered a complete psychological meltdown. In a twist of events, she managed to escape, then tortured her abductor and set his body on fire."
The group looked around at each other with surprised expressions, and murmurs could be heard. One of the men peeked inside the window to her cell. Allison, who was doing a puzzle, gently smiled and waved at him. The man, who was somewhat caught off guard by her beauty, smiled and waved back, then turned to walk away. Nurse Martinez looked at him with a serious expression.
"Listen, I warn all the new staff about her, but especially the males. Don't let the pretty face fool you. She's had numerous write-ups and staff assaults. She's one of the most dangerous patients in here."
Allison was forever changed by the horrific event that she lived through, an event that the majority of us will only have to experience in nightmares. People often use the word survivor to describe someone like herself, but she wasn't just a survivor. She had spiraled into something much more than that. She couldn't count the number of times that she had laid awake on her mattress, wondering what it would feel like to end Bryce's life, or what it would be like to possess total control over him and then force him to endure the same physical and mental abuse that he had inflicted on her. It was a question that had burned inside her mind until she finally got her answer. It was sweet, and it cut the bitterness in her mouth. And now she could finally understand why Bryce craved it so much. And that was Total Control by Brian Asbury. A good reminder that terror can be contagious. A little about the author. Well, old Brian Asbury is originally from Pueblo, Colorado. He's a big fan of television shows like Tales from the Crypts and The Twilight Zone. And he also enjoys gritty 90s psychological thrillers like Cape Fear and Unlawful Entry. He's a regular contributor for CTFDN, Drew Blood's Dark Tales in particular. And if you enjoyed this story, you can check out many of his other ones available on the network. He recently signed with the Evil Cookie Publishing, who just released his latest book, Waking the Dead. It features 8 short stories, one of which is currently being adapted into a movie. You can order your copy on theevilcookie.com, Amazon, or barnesandnoble.com. Fans can connect with him on Facebook under Brian Asbury-Writer. He'd like to thank his lovely wife, Amber, who's been one of his biggest inspirations, and also his family and friends. You know who you are. Hey, thanks, Brian.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, at least till next week. So grab a drink for the road, friend. I'm actually starting to worry about your drinking. You're an animal. But may the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. Here's to a long life and a quick death. And as long as you can make it till next week, go fuck yourselves. Imagine me and you, I do.